Welcome to Tri-Town Advice Givers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to bringing the Tri-Town and surrounding area residents the best advice from our brightest minds. My name is Mark Borst, your host, and today we have in virtual studio Kristen LaRocca. She is one half of a mother-daughter team that owns and operates Mink 64, a boutique located on the square in downtown Crown Point. Kristen, welcome to the show. And we're just going to start. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about who Kristen is?
Good morning. Kristen is a young entrepreneur in the Northwest Indiana area. Recently opened a boutique in the Crown Point area. So I am a newly founded mom, a wife, and a business owner.
Cool. And so what is the name of the boutique?
We like to call ourselves Mink 64. We are two businesses under one roof, Mink, which is myself, and my mom, which is established 1964. So to bring us together, we call ourselves Mink 64.
Excellent. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what each of you does in the business?
I sell women's clothing and I've got everything from tops to bottoms to dresses to shoes, jewelry, scarves. It's new merchandise sold at a very affordable price point. My customers are in the ages of 10 to 90 and everywhere in between. And then my mom sells repurposed furniture and home goods. So she'll bring in, she'll find really cool pieces of furniture and paint them, shabby chic them, and then we put them on the sales floor. She uses what's called a rethunk junk chalk-like paint, so it's really nice because there's no sanding or waxing in the product. It's literally a two-step process. And then she also sells handmade pieces that you can use as little chapters throughout your house.
Very cool. And you said you guys are new. I know you guys are just about over, or a little over a year, this last November.
Yes.
So, first of all, congratulations. The first year is always the hardest for any business.
Yes, and on top of that, I was pregnant that first year, so it was a whole surprise for everybody.
That is very cool. And sometimes the pressure makes it, the pressure of multiple things going on makes it even better in the long run. So
absolutely.
So I know that you were involved in the fashion industry in New York after college. So what made you want to bring that industry back to Northwest Indiana?
After I left New York, I was looking for a position, and in the meantime my mom told me I should start to write or I should start to blog. I told her I always wanted to sell costume jewelry. So this establishment started because of selling costume jewelry. So I started with a few pieces. I was a vendor in an antique mall that's in Crown Point. And I would also attend and be a vendor in the Hunt and Gather pop-up markets selling costume jewelry. At my second market, I thought I would introduce minimal clothing. So I brought in a scarf and I brought in a caftan, something that was easy to throw on, look in a mirror and see if you like it, nothing hard to try and sell or try to try on. That went really well and they sold out. So I thought, well, let's bring in more clothing. Let's introduce more clothing into the mix. So because I was in a location that there wasn't a fitting room offered, I brought in merchandise that could be easily tried on, or if you held it by the hanger, you knew that it would fit. And for me to bring in structured merchandise, I started to host trunk shows or have individuals, customers, host trunk shows themselves. That allowed me to bring in structured pieces with zippers and fitted clothing. And it was a really cool night out with your friends to be able to shop and party and drink.
Very cool.
Yeah. So from there, I got more and more clothing in, and I was kind of busting out of the seams in the space that I was at in the antique store. So I started to look for my own space. I found a really cool space in Crown Point on the square, and at that point, I told my mom she was going to do this with me, and she thought I was crazy because she knew this was a dream of my own. Well, I pulled her in with me, and here we are a year later.
That's awesome. So how long were you guys at the antique mall before you did open up your own store?
My mom was there 9 years, and her style transitioned as the styles of the trends transitioned, and I was there almost 2 years.
Oh, wow. So you said you brought your mom in, but she really brought you in a sense. She was there around 9 years.
Yes. She introduced me to antiques on Main, which allowed me to find who my customer was. And I brought her into doing this independently and giving her the freedom to create and do it in a space that we were able to build together.
That's awesome. Now, this first year that you guys have been in your own space, what kind of challenges have you guys run into?
Well, who would think that you would open a business and get pregnant at the same time? Not me. But I literally, about a week after we opened the doors is when the baby was conceived. So that was a challenge in itself. Figuring out what we were going to do when, I wasn't going to be able to be here. And then the challenge was finding, I guess, who we are. I don't know. That's a really good question. We kind of were able to get in and get the store up and running. And then once we got in, we were able to add more things to the mix. We kind of just wanted to get here and then do the rest. So we figured out, you know, get the front of the store running, and then we'd worry about the back end of the store later as far as like our back room and getting our back room organized and things that make us be able to create. We have to have a clean space. Figuring out, you know, how we could offer paint classes and where we could do that. And you know, those were kind of our challenges throughout the first year. And then figuring out a schedule, which we don't like a schedule, so our schedule would be created the week before. So it would be like, are you going in today or am I going in today? Or if emergency came in, then either one of us would cover. But there really weren't too many challenges. I was really determined to do this and get this up and running, and I had the support where the support was needed, and it kind of made it a smooth transition.
Yeah, that's awesome that you guys are doing it together in a partnership, because then you can, if something comes up, you don't have to close the store or do something drastic to get it covered. Just, you know, the other person goes in and helps. That's awesome.
Right.
And I heard you say that it evolved from the beginning. So was your vision from the beginning a year and a half ago different from how the store is and acts now?
I think so. You forget when you're your own boss that the sky's the limit, and there's no one way to do things, or that you can change it up and you don't need anybody's permission, or you don't need to try to, you know, persuade somebody into thinking your idea is right, because you can try it, and if it fails, then you don't do it again. You try something else. So we've definitely... you know, we're figuring out what works and what doesn't work. And I'm going to start selling swimwear this year, because last year I styled a photo shoot in March, and the swimwear I used was going to use for the photo shoot, I did not use for the photo shoot. So I sold it, and it brought in, you know, a lot of interest. And I thought, well, this year let's try it. So that's something new for me. The idea of being able to start paint classes is something that we've wanted to do, and it's getting closer to becoming alive. So it's just, you know, constantly figuring out what, you know, supply and demand, what's needed and what we think is a staple piece and why we think it's a staple piece, and then going from there.
Yeah, that's great. The fact in entrepreneurship that you don't have any shackles or handcuffs on you, and you can do basically whatever you want, and you can try things. If it doesn't work, you can just stop doing them and do something else. There's nothing wrong with trying something and finding out that it doesn't work versus not trying it at all. So,
yeah,
I think that's what entrepreneurship is all about.
Absolutely.
So if you could go back 2 years or even right before you opened the store, would you give yourself any advice or do anything different than you did?
Advice or what would I do different? I think we would have probably figured out our, like, maybe signage a little differently, or our business cards a little differently, or something that, I think we would probably change up a little bit of the marketing, or the, like, the business cards, our signage, things like that. When we opened the store, we got the keys in October, and I wanted to be open for Black Friday, so we had about 5 weeks to do this. I think maybe sometime in November, like a week into November, we found out that we could apply for a grant to help us with the exterior of the building. We didn't really put too much thought. We did, but now looking back, that's something we could have changed. People, I think, misconceive what we call ourselves. They see Mink. So that's what they refer to the business as, but we really are Mink 64. So I think that would be something we would change. Our business cards, I think that would be something that we would go back and change, which it's never too late to do this.
More like the branding and the logo type stuff?
Yeah, more like the branding and the logo type stuff, because the product and what we offer is still who we are and what brought us to open a business. But we didn't put in that time frame enough thought into it. But when you're wrapped up in it, we think that's, you know, exactly what we want in that moment. And I remember when we went and applied for the grant with Crown Point, there was a guy there, there was a gentleman there from the Times who said, "So what do you call yourself?" And we looked at each other, and I said, "Mom, we can't look at each other when somebody asks what we call ourselves. We need to have a name. We just need to say this is who we are." And I'm like, "We can't just say we're Mink Plus Established 1964. That's a hell of a name for a store." So we went and we split a piece of cake at one of the restaurants on the square, and we're brainstorming about how we can do this. And at that point, it was too late to change it because it was approved and it was being made by the awning company. So after the fact is kind of when we figured it out, like, hey, we need a name. We need to figure this out.
That's funny. That's funny that you just kind of had to get thrown into it like that. But do you think it negatively affects you, or is it just something that you wish was different?
I feel like I kind of feel bad sometimes because it's like, well, what about Established 1964? Because people refer to the business as Mink. But sometimes I see it as restaurants or clothing stores or any kind of business that has a name that ends with a number. It's kind of just called the name. Like Forever 21, for instance. It's called Forever 21, but sometimes people just shorten it and call it Forever. So even though there is that 21 at the end, it's still dropped and it's just referred to as Forever, and everybody understands what it is. It's not that she's forgot about, because people know where she is and knows where her product is, and if they look for her, they find her. If they, you know, they are still looking for her in our prior location, they'll Google her and see where she's at. But it's just going in the future to, you know, fix that. And, hey, this is who we are. We're Mink 64.
Sure. And definitely when you walk into your store, you can definitely tell that there's two brands in there and two distinct things, because you guys do have the furnishing sides and the clothing sides. So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, I see what you're saying, just a matter of getting people in the door and letting them know who you are before they get in.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That is actually good advice. The you know, it's a double-edged sword. You don't want too much time on branding and marketing, because sometimes I think people spend so much time on that they just never do it, because they concentrate too much on the perfect brand.
Mm-hmm.
Versus going too quickly and then having to retool down the road. But companies retool down the road all the time and are successfully doing it. So,
right. It's a kind of just doing it as a smooth transition. Our focus truly was getting in and getting the product displayed and ready to sell. And, you know, we're still able to do branding and, you know, get business cards and get our awning up and change from what it was. But our focus was really on what you see when you come into the store.
Sure. So recently joined the Motherhood Club. You recently, in the last year, opened a business. So do you have time to do anything else other than those two things?
You know, I look back and I think every day that I look back until the baby was born, I'm going to look back and say, wow, I was pregnant at this time. And the first few times that I was back at the store and I was just doing simple things like closing the store down, turning off the lights and bending over to do things, I'm like, I've never not done this, not pregnant. So bending over without a belly, it's very bizarre. Do I have time to do other things? I do, but now my time off is spent differently. Last year when I had time off, it was spent differently because I was pregnant. So things that you do on your days off when you're not pregnant might be different when you have time off and you are. But now I'm just figuring out a different schedule. On my days off, I would like to go to the gym rather early. And now on my days off, I go when my husband's home so that he can watch the baby. And if I go out now, I bring the baby with me, which is so much fun. It's just reworking life, which anybody with kids will tell you that. It's fun. Now when I go, you know, to the beach in the summer, the baby's going to be with me. And that's okay, because he's a summer baby, so we're going to make fun of it. We're going to make the best of it.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. Definitely life changes, but I think for the better.
For the better, 100%. And everybody told me that when I was pregnant, and I thought they were crazy. But it's truly something you have to experience for yourself, because nobody can tell you and make you believe everything they're saying. But you really look at your time that you had, and you're like, what did I do with my time off? Because now when you have time off, it's like, wow. And before, your day still went by, and you don't know how.
Yeah. Wait till they get a little older, and they have to be in five places also, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. So is there anything that you want to convey about the store, entrepreneurship, anything that I didn't ask you so far?
Don't be afraid to do it. I was not afraid to do this. I was watching or read something once about how Mark Cuban, I think it might have been on Instagram, I seen it. There was a quote by Mark Cuban that said, if you've got a plan B, you know, you're basically not going to succeed. There should be no plan B. And for me, opening the store, there was no plan B. That this was it. This, I was so confident in doing this that it just wasn't an option. And I was ready. My mom and dad were very scared to do it. There was all the what if this and what if that. And I didn't think about the what ifs, because there was no what if. And if something did happen, I'm like, we'll figure it out when we get there. But don't be afraid to follow your dreams. Even if it's going to be hard. My first year of business was hard. There was a lot of things that happened that I didn't realize was going to happen. I didn't know that I was going to be pregnant. I didn't know that I had intentions of going into opening a business and still being employed working remotely, and I didn't know that wasn't going to happen. But they say things come in threes, so just push through it, because at the end, it's so worth it. And it's, you know, people think it's going to be crazy expensive, crazy dollars to follow your dreams, and it can be if you make it, but everything that we did, you know, we did it on a budget, and it looks beautiful. And I think it shows when you come into the store, but don't be afraid to follow your dreams, even if there's sacrifices that come while you're doing it.
That's great advice. I think that people that truly get entrepreneurship understand that, and people that don't, they're not in that business mindset, they are very scared and they can be hesitant. But you're exactly right. If you want to get something done, you have to go do it yourself. So that's great advice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's I appreciate it on both levels, because my mom and dad now see what I was telling them all along. But before that, they were the people that go to work. And that was okay. They're okay with it. I feel like there's two kinds of people in life. There's the people that go to work, and then there's the business-minded people. And I'm fortunate to be able to be surrounded by that, because my parents now see what I have seen all along. And my in-laws are the business-minded people. So my husband completely understood where I was going, why I was going with this, and supported it, because his mom and dad are in the restaurant industry, so they are business-minded people. And he wasn't afraid for me to do this. He pushed for it. And so to have that support, because that's what he grew up with and understands, was kind of easier for me to be able to follow my dreams and follow my passion. So, yes, there's two kinds of people in life, and really there's no in-between on that one. And most things there is an in-between. But that one is not. There's just an A or a B, and I was fortunate to be able to have both.
I totally agree. There is no in between. It's definitely one side or the other. And what you said, having someone in that support role with your husband, definitely helped you to push there and talk your mom into it as well, and drag her along for the ride. And I know that she's been excited to go along for the ride too. So even though she was apprehensive at the beginning, I think she loves it. So,
oh my God, they still can't believe it. And I still can't believe it. I still forget my role in this, and they're just ecstatic about it. So yeah, I'm glad I was able to let them overcome their fear of doing this and show them my vision.
Very cool. So just to wrap up, if people want to find you, are you on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter? Where should they find you at?
We are on Facebook. My Facebook is MINKLA. My mom's is Established, fully spelled out, Established, ESTABLISHED, 1964. We are both on Instagram. I am M.I.N.K, and my mom is EST1964. My mom also has a Twitter. I'm not too sure what her Twitter actually is. And I've got a website. It's minxcollection.com. Her Twitter is actually 1964Established. And then you can always email us. You can call us. We're here Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5. And I've got a website. It's minxcollection.com. Her Twitter is actually 1964Established. And then you can always email us. You can call us. We're here Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5.
Cool, and you're on the square on the, what is that, the east side of the square?
We are right next door to Mariotti's, and we are a couple doors down from Tequila.
Very good. Thank you very much for your time. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and you had some great advice, so very cool.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
See ya.